This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the winner, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster! It's American Pharoah with that majestic stride, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs in the second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, positioned trackside at historic Saratoga Racecourse in Saratoga Springs, New York. The pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, is on location at Del Mar in Southern California, getting ready for tonight's Pacific Classic coverage. He'll host that coverage along with our analyst, Jeff Bloom. But Big A, that means you and I here at Saratoga, but a nice consolation prize. We don't get the trip to Del Mar, but we get the Grade One 135th running of the Alabama.
Yes, we do. One of my favorite races of the year. Love the Alabama, of course. Next week, it is the prelude for the boys, the Midsummer Derby, the Travers. That is my second or third favorite race of the year, Baron, behind the Belmont Stakes. Love the Belmont Stakes. But, yeah, we get to be trackside. A couple hundred people already out watching horses train this morning. Just makes you think. There's a couple hundred here today. What's going to happen after that workout tomorrow out at Del Mar, if all systems are a go for the Pharoah? There'll be thousands and
thousands.
I do too.
I've been saying that since before the Haskell, though. I just think that this is a logical spot for him. And I know people will say Bob Baffert doesn't have the best of luck in this race. He doesn't typically do well when he comes here for the Travers. And that's true. The only horse that he's won it with is Point Given. Last year, of course, Byrne, who went on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, finished 10th in the race. So this isn't a race that's been very kind to him, but, you know, Big A, look, this is a different type of horse. This is no Byrne. We're talking about a horse that is really, really special.
You know, he brought the gun to the knife fight when he brought Point Given here in 2001. And I honestly feel like American Pharoah is the best horse he's had since Point Given. I was a huge Point Given fan. I would have loved to have seen Point Given run the second half of that year against Older, and I couldn't even imagine him as a four-year-old.
Yeah.
Big Point Given fan. If you bring the goods, it doesn't matter if they run the race on the moon. And he's bringing the goods. Whether he wins or not, whether he comes or not is up for question. Whether he wins or not, you know, he's getting to the tail end of a very, very tough season. But, yeah, I think he's going to wind up coming here. They have done a fantastic job bringing him to the people, taking him to Monmouth, keeping him in training after the Triple Crown, bringing him to Monmouth. You figure he's going to bring him up here. He's got to go somewhere else with him after that. Maybe it's back to Churchill. Maybe it's back to Belmont. Keeping him in training, Breeders' Cup, of course. There's not much left to say about this horse and about his connections. They've done a fine job. And, you know, I think it's probably the only thing that's keeping Baffert from running him in the Travers is his quote-unquote luck or lack thereof.
Well,
in this
you
race.
Know, but here's the other thing, too. Keep in mind that after the Belmont, when they said, you know, yeah, he's going to stay in training, we're going to point for the Breeders' Cup Classic, that's the ultimate goal, they said that he was going to have two starts before the Breeders' Cup, right? Well, he already had one now with the Haskell. So if you come in the Travers, now you're talking about going from the Travers all the way to the Breeders' Cup, unless you do mix in a third start and kind of change your plans a little bit there.
Right. And I would think that's the way they're going to lean. You can't say Bob has said numerous times he wants to keep him against three-year-olds right now. They've also said there's no Parks in their equation.
Right.
This is it.
This is the spot. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And then after that, you have to look at older horses, right? It's either going to be the Awesome Again Stakes at Santa Anita or the Jockey Club Gold Cup. We know he loves Belmont Park. Maybe that's a logical spot.
And I know Monmouth Park was still looking into insurance policies, trying to put together a three-race plan. Travers, a race at the end of September at Monmouth. Monmouth closes that weekend of the 26th and 27th of September. A race that weekend, and then the Breeders' Cup, where they're going to make it a $1 million race at Monmouth on the 26th or 27th, a $5 million sweep bonus of the Travers,
yep,
the race at Monmouth, and then the Breeders' Cup Classic. And it's something Monmouth's done in the past. They created the Monmouth Cup, yep, for Big Round back in 2008.
Right, right. Well, how exciting is this? We're 69 days, 7 hours, and 24 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. Of course, we'll be there as the exclusive radio home here on the network. All that coverage presented by our friends at caldensity.com. But you think about what we're talking about now, right? We have the 135th running of the Alabama today. We have the Pacific Classic out at Del Mar. We have Win and You're In action all over the country. And we are focused on next week, Travers, because of the fact that we might see the Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, here. And I think this horse has done so much for racing, more than we even know. I think that you have people now that are following the sport in some capacity that never had any interest in this game at all, and they're doing it now because of the fact that it was a cool run by American Pharoah. They saw how great the game can be, and now we're running into people here at Saratoga, at Arlington last weekend, that are coming and experiencing this game for the very first time.
It's amazing up here. When I got in yesterday, I must have had a half a dozen people already talk to me about American Pharoah, people I don't know, staying at the hotel last night. Shout out to the Adirondack Inn, who came up big in a pinch last night. But yeah, people just coming up to you. You think he's coming? I hope he comes. I'm staying through the Travers. I'm staying through next weekend. You think he's going to come? He's so great for racing. I might go down to Monmouth if he runs in Monmouth again. I hope he runs in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I'm only 4 hours from Belmont. Like, you know, he's generated so much interest. And like you said, we got a great, great pile of racing today. The ladies really take center stage. We got the Alabama here. Beholder, of course, trying the boys for the first time in her illustrious 18-race career, making her 19th start today, her first against the boys. I believe it's her first going a mile and a quarter as well. So
yeah, first time past a mile and an eighth.
We're already looking ahead, but that's what you do. I mean, I'm assuming. I was 15 months old the last time we had a Triple Crown winner, so I guess this is what you do when the
it's
Triple Crown winner is around.
I get to work with somebody that was younger than me when there was a Triple Crown winner. Usually it's Jude, and he's, you know, as we know,
right,
a little bit older. So
He better than her race. So.
Yeah, as he says, he got to see all the Triple Crown winners in person.
Well, that was the late, great John Nehru, right? He got to see every Triple Crown winner in the past couple of weeks ago.
So. Yeah, sad news there last week as well that John Nehru has passed, but the Hall of Famer is going to be remembered here at Saratoga. Last week, we got to see the great Alan Jerkins remembered here with Alan Jerkins Day. I know you're a gigantic fan of Alan Jerkins, as so many people were, and that was a very special day for you here at the spot.
Yeah, I tweeted out that the link to the blog that I wrote back in March when the Chief passed. We miss him and we love him. And speaking of the Chief, he got his red jacket last year. Jimmy Jerkins, his son, stood in for him. And this Friday, Mary Lou Whitney and Ogden Mills, Denny Phipps will get theirs here at the spa Friday, the day before the Travers will be here for New York Bred Showcase Day.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael Hearn is going to join us here in just a few minutes from Gainesway Farm. He's going to kick off a very busy program for us this morning. And Michael and Gainesway have been just on a roll lately. You look at what they've done with their stallions. Of course, Super Stallion Tappet, right? He's commercial. His horses sell for more than $1 million all the time.
He's not bad.
No, he's pretty good. I think that stallion's going to be okay. And then you have Frosted, who is one of his top runners here, one of, I believe, 4 Grade 1 winners for Tappet this year. Well, Frosted is going in the Travers next weekend for Kieran McLaughlin, major player in there. You have Texas Red, who is scheduled to go in that race as well. He's the son of Gainesway Stallion, a Fleet Alex. So they have a lot of ties to what's going on in the sport right now on these major stages. And maybe the two best chances to upset Triple Crown winner American Pharoah if he does come here to Saratoga.
Yeah, half length apart in the Jim Dandy, the traditional prep for this here at the spa, just a few weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago to be exact. Yeah, you know, they got a real puncher's chance, and the, like you said, the best hand to try and upset the champ when he, if he comes here next Saturday.
All right, so Michael Hernan's going to kick it off for us next. Corey Johnson from Kentucky Downs, the president of Kentucky Downs, is going to be with us right around 8:30 Eastern time to tell you about their upcoming meet and a cool handicapping contest they put together. Brett Jones is going to be here at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Brett has a couple of contenders going in the Alabama today, including Lovely Maria and Include Betty, both of those owned by Brereton Jones, Brett's dad, and looking forward to hearing from Brett coming up right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. The Pontiff will join us at 9:30 from Del Mar to give you an update on what's happening with this Pacific Classic Day program. And then Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela at the end of the program. He sends out two horses, including Champion Beholder, the morning line favorite in the Pacific Classic this afternoon. So there's a lot to get to this morning. We're going to kick it off next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-old pacers and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch some of the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post is 7 p.m. on August 9th, 20th, and 30th at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREDS.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillip retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 1/4. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillip. Hashtag Justin's Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti. Standing at Castleton Lions. Visit Castleton Lions.
Make plans now to attend the National Thoroughbred Owner Conference taking place at beautiful Gulfstream Park in South Florida, January 11th through 14th, the same week of the 2015 Eclipse Awards. Enjoy a great lineup of speakers and panelists, fabulous social events, and live racing at Gulfstream. Plus, you'll meet celebrity owners and successful thoroughbred owners from around the country. If you missed the inaugural Owner Conference at Keeneland, you won't want to miss this one. Visit ownerview.com to register today. That's ownerview.com.
Looking for the ideal setting to break and train your yearlings? Look no further than Abracadabra Farm. Situated on 240 acres in beautiful Ocala, Florida, Abracadabra Farm offers the perfect environment to break and train your yearlings. Featuring a 5/8 mile turf track, a 3/4 mile dirt track, a European turf gallop, and lush pastures with hammocks and individual paddocks, it's easy to see why Abracadabra Farm graduates have accumulated 30 greatest stakes performances and more than $22 million in earnings, including champions A Shadow and Fantasy Lake. Abracadabra Farm wishes all buyers the best of luck at this year's Basic Tifton Yearling Sale. Visit AbracadabraFarm.com to learn more.
And time now to showcase the Cal Density Horse of the Week, which you can find at the upcoming Keeneland September Yearling Sale. This week's horse is hip number 1023. Write it down, 1023, a wonderful daughter of leading sire Tappet out of Point Chanel by Point Given, who is a half-sister to stakes-placed Runaway Brute, winner of more than $237,000. And her second dam is a graded stakes-placed half-sister to grade one winner Got Coco. Consigned by Gainsway for Winchell Thoroughbred's Corinthia Farm, where he was allowed to run free, not stalled, a natural athlete to behold, and fed Cal Density Black Label daily. Veterinarian Dr. Perry Warnell at Harrison Vet Clinic in Cynthiana, Kentucky, is quoted as saying, "I have watched these horses grow up and seen the impressive growth into big, stout horses with strong bones. See for yourself the special qualities Cal Density fed horses offer, like clean radiographs, conformity, bone density, hoofs, and attitude. Visit us at barn number 30 and get the buyer's edge for this special horse. Write it down, hip number 1023, and last week's hip number 346 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale."
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come toward the top of the stretch, and it is Japan who's all out on the lead. Here comes a Breeders' Cup winner after him. Texas Red has moved up alongside of Japan, and Frosted is coming with giant strides on the far outside as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it. He beat Frosted in the Jim Dandy today. Japan was third and Fomento was fourth in a final time of 1 minute 48.77 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile. We are trackside at Saratoga here in Saratoga Springs, New York. Gorgeous morning, and this is the venue where they contested the Jim Dandy just a few weeks ago, of course, coming back here in the Travers next weekend. We told you about that at the top of the show. Texas Red defeating Frosted a few weeks ago, and they're going to get a rematch in that upcoming Travers, maybe a showdown with Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. And, of course, both of those horses, Texas Red and Frosted, by Gainesway Stallions. Texas Red, a son of a Fleet Alex, and Frosted, a son of Super Sire Tappet. And Michael Hernan is with us now from Gainesway here on the Equine Forum. Michael, welcome to the show and congratulations on all the success.
Good morning, Mike. Great to be back with you on the show, and we're having a super year on the racetrack with our stallions, of course, led by international leading sire Tappet, and Fleet Alex is right there with him. He's had four grade one winners this year, in the last 10 months actually, himself. So I'm really looking forward to the Travers. We'll be up there. I'll see you there. And hopefully American Pharoah comes in and we'll have quite a horse race.
Yeah, Anthony and I were just talking about this at the top of the show, Michael, that you probably have, with those two horses, the two best opportunities to upset the Triple Crown winner, if indeed it were going to happen next week here at the Spa.
Well, both horses, namely Frosted by Tappet and Texas Red, ran big races that day. Texas Red got a 105 buyer speed figure, so it was a quality performance. He was receiving 4 pounds from Frosted, who was unlucky to lose a shoe leaving the gate. So I expect an improved performance by Frosted. And, of course, Texas Red, he's thriving. I had the opportunity to see him on the backside, and he's such an impressive individual. He's a big horse. He's all of 17 hands. He's inbred to the Great Mare Special. He was bred by Stone Street. He was very well bought by Keith DeSormo, and he's handled them really well. And it's a very exciting race to come up, and it'll be great if Bob Baffert and Mr. Zayat bring in the Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, who's truly a really top horse and great advertisement for racing. And we look forward to a very exciting stretch drive, and may the best horse win.
Michael Herner from Gainesway Farm joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, you know, every time you pick up the leading sire list over the past few years, you're looking at the name Tappet up at the top of the list. And when you think about what he's done here this year, and certainly over his career, but this year alone, it's not just about Frosted. We're looking at grade one winners like Ring Weekend, who won the Frankie Kilroe Mile. You have Don Handicap winner Constitution and Untappable, who won the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn earlier this year, all offspring of Tappet. And then you turn around at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale and you look at where he stands with his yearling prices, not just here in the States, but internationally. And he's commercial as well. And you couldn't ask for anything more from a stallion than what you've been able to accomplish with Tappet.
Well, Tappet keeps climbing the mountain, so to speak. He's really now become the leading sire in the world, in my opinion. He had a top colt in Japan. I was there to see him sell. He made $1,850,000. You referred to the good colt who made $2 million at Saratoga, consigned by Four Star Sales. And Tappet is a real force in his own right. He gets colts, fillies. They run on dirt and turf. And when you buy a progeny of Tappet, you're very likely buying a graded stakes winner. His yearling average now approaches $1 million. It's $952,000 as we speak. There are 48 of them to be offered in book one. We had a great year with him this year at $300,000. We limited his book to 135 mares. This policy really looks after Tappet himself. We look at him as the grey goose, so to speak, and he's the asset, and we've got to mind him. He's just a teenager. He's 14, so there's a lot of good years ahead for Tappet, and he's bred excellent mares in the meantime, and limited to the 135 mares. It also protects the investment of the breeder. We know $300,000 is a significant piece of change, and we don't want to oversupply the market. So he'll be held to that number going forward. And again, there's tremendous prospects in the Keeneland September sale. So I look for several yearlings by Tappet to continue bringing over $1 million. We ourselves have a terrific filly who's a full sister to Breeders' Cup champion Hansen. She's really outstanding, and we're selling for some new clients this year, namely Three Chimneys, and they have an excellent colt by Tappet, and we're also selling a few select yearlings for Don Alberto Corp, and we also sell for Greg Goodman at Mount Brilliant, and he's got some particularly good stock with us this year. And I'd point out a really good filly by Top Stallion, Distorted Humor. So Gainsway are the leading consigner by gross and average thus far in 2015. People buy from us with confidence. They know the product. We stand behind our horses. And it's exciting times at Gainsway. And these, for me, are the halcyon days at the farms. Things have really gelled. And, you know, a Fleet Alex, you know, he's just had these four grade one winners in the past 10 months. He's preceded that with hopeful winners like Dublin, who was raised by Jerry Dilger, Travers winner, Cleet Express, who raced for in Anthony Beck's colors. And he's come up with these additional grade one winners. I call them our secret weapon. He's great value at 12.5 live foal. And he was a brilliant horse, as we all know, grade one winner himself at Saratoga when he won the hopeful and came back and won that amazing Preakness Stakes under great adversity, and then proved it was no fluke, taking the Belmont by a resounding 7 lengths and was named champion 3-year-old. So the Fleet Alex, look at him when you're over looking at Tappet. And then we've had success with Tappet's son, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar, who was the leading freshman sire at Basic Tips in July. He retired sound off an emphatic win in the Dirt Mile at Santa Anita. And Tapazar, out of the deputy minister mayor winning call, he's got the license to be a stallion. He had the ability for sure, and he's a son of the great horse Tappet. So we're very optimistic about him going forward and making his own mark as a stallion in the next few years.
Yeah, his yearlings being very well received, and I'm sure a lot of that does have to do with the fact that he is a son of super sire Tappet. You also have another horse with first yearlings at the sales ring this year in To Honor and Serve, and here's a horse that is by Bernardini, a grade one winning millionaire, and really looking forward to seeing more of his babies go through the ring. And Michael, you have to be pleased with what you've seen so far.
Absolutely. I mean, I really went out and aggressively pursued To Honor and Serve. He raced for the great supporter of racing, namely Charlotte Weber of Live Oak in Florida, and she has supported the horse. She stepped in at Saratoga and bought a very good filly for $450,000 up there from four-star sales. And he also had a good New York bred bring $300,000 that was bought by McMahon and Hill. And he's getting good stock. He's fertile horse. He was a graded stakes winner at 2, a grade 1 winner at 3 when he won the Cigar Mile in a great time and the Pennsylvania Derby, and went on as a 4-year-old to win the Woodward and defeat Mucho Macho Man. He's now, as we know, came back and won the Breeders' Cup Classic. We incidentally have a full sister, a top filly, a daughter, a pilfer, by Bernardini that we're selling for Three Chimneys. She's a bit of a collector's item. She's a special filly. She's in book one, and I'm excited about her. She brings, she's got it all, athleticism, power, and great pedigree behind her, and she looks like a filly, you know, just cut out of the top drawer. So she's in book one, selling her for Three Chimneys. So we're delighted with Turner and Serve, and we think he, you know, has a real future himself at Gainsway.
Well, you know, Gainsway is steeped in history, not just on the breeding side, but on the consignment side as well. And, Michael, you mentioned the lofty numbers that you've been able to achieve on the sales side as well. But these days now and this time period, probably as good as any time period that Gainsway has ever experienced. And I know you've had a lot to do with that. And the entire team at Gainsway is to be commended. So congratulations again and all the best moving forward. And thanks for all your support of what we do here on the network. And good luck in the Travers next week.
Well, thanks, Mike. Look forward to that race. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, it's a real team effort. We've some great people at the farm. Anthony Beck has allowed to put a good team together, allow us latitude, and results have come in, and we all are work well together. We're keen to achieve, and we're proud of the performance so far, and we're open for business.
And Michael Hernan, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Michael, appreciate it, my friend. We'll tell people to go to Gainsway.com to learn more about all the stallions and to see the upcoming consignment horses as well. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Many thanks. Enjoy the weekend. Look forward to seeing you at the Travers.
All right, Michael Hernan here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Always a welcome guest, longtime supporter of the show. Gainsway's involvement with this program, like so many of the farms that are involved, actually goes back to even before I got involved. Back in 2003, they were supporting this very same program when it was a one-hour show on a single AM station in Lexington, going back more than 20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah, they're a pillar of the breeding industry here in the States. And, you know, they have to be happy, especially with the versatility of a Fleet Alex. And you have Materiality, won, of course, the Grade 1 Florida Derby and was undefeated up until that point. And then just a couple of weeks ago, Charleroi got the money in the Del Mar Oaks, Grade 1 on turf. So they're not only doing it with fillies and colts, but they're doing it on both surfaces as well.
All right, it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, all the great folks at the Lexus store. And I tell you every week, I mean, look, if you're in the horse business and you're looking for a vehicle, new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, doesn't matter. You go see them. They're going to take care of you. I've had my Lexus now for nearly 2 years, and it has been, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It has been the greatest vehicle that I have ever, I've ever driven. And I say that not just because they're a sponsor, but it is such a smooth ride. We've driven it all the way here to Saratoga. Can't wait to drive it back. It actually makes those long car rides much easier. And the product is second to none. And the people at the Lexus store are what really set them apart. They make the difference. They're horse people. You go see them, the Lexus store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And make sure you tell them that the Baron told you to stop in and say hello. We're back with Corey Johnson from Kentucky Downs right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This tidbit of thoroughbred racing lore covers a time span. A time span, in this case, being the career of a horse which was a record setter while racing, but whose credentials as a sire stamped his name in capital letters on the now yellowing pages of recorded thoroughbred racing history. Calumet Farm purchased this horse as a yearling in 1936 at the Keeneland sale for $14,000 from Coldstream Studs Consignment. As a performer on the racetrack, he was good enough to win the Widener, Bluegrass, and Kenner Stakes, the Thornton Memorial, and the Autumn Handicap. At Keeneland, just a stone's throw from Calumet, he set track standards for 1 1/16 miles and 1 1/8 miles. In 27 starts, he had 10 wins, 7 seconds, and 2 thirds. That composite was accrued in 4 years of racing. He entered stud in 1944, a pittance, $750. But that quickly shot up when Twilight Tear and Duranza became successful on the racetrack as two of his progeny. These two were resultant of his first crop to race. He led the sire list 5 times, 1947, 48, 49, 52, and 53. He ranked second on the sire list 3 times, third once, fifth once, and eighth once. At the time of his death in 1964, he had been matched only by Starshot and the legendary Nasrullah as a leading sire. He was the very first stallion who's get over $1 million in a single season, and he did it in back-to-back years in 1946 and 47. His get included 28 $100,000 winners, and he sired 358 foals, of which 268 of them won. To the end of his final year at stud, his offspring had accounted for 1,723 wins. He was the daddy of the consummately superb Citation, the solid-performing, hard-knocking Coaltown, and the quintessential filly Bewitch, all from a single year's crop. Bewitch and Twilight Tear were two of America's very best mares of all time. Our subject's thoroughbred sired two other Kentucky Derby winners in addition to Citation in 1948. He was the sire of Hillgale, who won in 1952, and Iron Liege, who won in 1957. For 5 years, from 1951 through 1956, his get held all three individual money-winning championships. Bewitch as a mare, Armed in 1947 and Citation in 1948, were horses of the year, and Coaltown was named Outstanding Performer of 1949. Another of his get, Bull Page, was Canadian Horse of the Year in 1951. His offspring included these divisional champions: 2-year-old Citation, 2-year-old fillies Duranza and Bewitch, 3-year-olds Twilight Tear and Citation, 3-year-old fillies Twilight Tear, Thule, Wistful, Next Move, and Real Delight. Handicap horse, Armed, twice by the way, Citation and Coaltown, handicap mares, Bewitch, Twilight Tear, Thule, and Real Delight, and champion sprinter Coaltown. This remarkable thoroughbred led the list of broodmare sires for four successive seasons, 1958 through 1961, and the offspring of his daughters included Quadrangle, Ambipoise, Blue Scope, Bourbon Prince, Finnegan, Good Move, A Pat on the Back, Bardstown, On, Restless Wind, I Done, Tim Tam, Leala, Barbizon, Pucker Up, Dukes Lee Lane, and How Now. Among his get, subsequently becoming leading sires, including the likes of Citation, sire of Fabius, Silver Spoon, and many others, and Bo Max, sire of How Now and Golden Notes. At the time of his demise on June 16, 1964 at Calumet, he had established a record as the most successful sire of the 20th century in America. This son of Bulldog, out of Rose Leaves by Ballot, who left many memories, records, and a statue next to his gravesite at Calumet, and whose legend lives on to this very day, was Bull Lee.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment for this morning. Back right after this short break to visit with Corey Johnson from Kentucky Downs.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
And they're off to New York, the premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the recently completed 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
Back on the Equine Forum, it's Baron and the Big A from Saratoga getting ready for the 135th Grade 1 Alabama. You're going to hear that exclusively with us this afternoon, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern Time. We'll be joined by former Miss Connecticut, Acacia Courtney. She's been with us throughout the entire meet to help with that coverage. Looking forward to getting her in the mix. Again, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern. You can hear that right here on Sirius Channel 93 and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget that following that broadcast tonight at 8:30 Eastern, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can do it on your smartphone, your tablet, whatever the case might be. And you can join Jude Feld and Jeff Bloom as they bring you our live coverage of the Pacific Classic. Again, that comes up 8:30 to 9:30. So 5:30 to 6:30 with the Alabama, 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific Classic. Full day here on HRN.
You know, Baron, I was just thinking, we got to give Jeff a nickname. You're the Baron. I'm the Big A. Jude's the Pope.
Clancy's the dreamy one. Acacia's Miss HRN, as I dubbed her now.
Right. Sean Feld, who still looming boldly, is right. Puffy.
Right.
Everybody has a nickname.
Yeah, we don't have one for Jeff.
Jumping Jeff, that's terrible,
no,
right? Jumping Jeff.
He wasn't a jump jock.
No, right.
Yeah, I don't. We'll figure it
that
out.
That would apply. That would be good
you
for
you know
Clancy.
Who does it a lot with jockeys? Is Corey Johnson at Kentucky Downs. Does a lot with the PDJF, does a lot with the new jockeydraft.com, and now he's getting ready for an unbelievable record race meet coming up just 2 weeks from today, September 5th, in Southern Kentucky. And he's with us now here on the Equine Forum. Corey, appreciate the time, my friend.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Happy to have you on board and really looking forward to what we're going to see in 2 weeks at Kentucky Downs. Hard to believe it's only 2 weeks away.
It is. And, our turf course is in great shape. Horsemen from really all over the world are looking at, racing at our facility, and the purses will be $1.5 million per day on average. So it's an exciting time right now.
And I know you're starting to get some attention from maybe some horsemen that you hadn't in the past, but you're starting to bring back a lot of old friends as well that have been running there for a long time, and now they're being rewarded with these unbelievable purses.
Yeah, we have a relationship with old friends, and we're the first racetrack to offer a retirement center for old horses, and we actually have five horses in our stable area right now, and we do daily tours, and we have a partnership with the Franklin Simpson Tourist Commission, and it's worked out really, really well. And it's not only given back to the industry, but it's teaching more people about thoroughbreds and the greatness that there is. So, yeah, that's exciting, Mike. And we've got a couple of other things that are that we have on tap. Horse players, as we We're rated number one by the Horse Players Association of North America for our takeout and field size and wagering mix. But horse players can come to Kentucky Downs on September 12th, and we have a handicapping turf challenge, and we've got a great place for them to sit in our clubhouse, and there's going to be a spot in the Breeders' Cup Challenge and two NHC spots, and then also one spot in the Jockey Draft Big Game. And let me explain that one real quick. If you go to racetrackwarriors.com, there's going to be a big game over Breeders' Cup weekend where there's going to be 150,000 and five NHC seats. And it's all tied to the new game that they have established, and that's the Jockey Draft Game, where you basically pick your stable or team of eight jockeys. You have a salary cap, and the better those jockeys do during a given day or time period, the better you do. And there's a ton of feeder games. I know there's games today about Saratoga. So you go to either racetrackwarriors.com or jockeydraft.com. And since I'm doing the .com thing, you can go to kentuckydowns.com and sign up for our handicapping contest. And it's only $150 per person. And if you're, you know, looking to qualify for the Breeders' Cup upcoming contest, that $10,000 one, it's a perfect spot. And you, if you're a good turf racing handicapper, come on to Kentucky Downs.
Corey, it's Anthony Stabile here. Great job with the handicapping contest and the jock draft and everything you got going on down there, down in Kentucky Downs. You talked earlier about the takeout and how the horse play, you're so horse player friendly. What can we look forward to with this big purse structure? How many races a day are we looking at? We're just 2 weeks out now, and any new wagers that you might be bringing about down there at Kentucky Downs?
Yeah, a good question. Our takeout's the lowest in North America. We, purposely, especially lowered the takeout on our Exacta a touch. It's 18 1/4, which is by far the best. I've always felt the Exacta is one of the staples that horse players like. And, we have pick fours, pick fives. We have an all-stakes pick four on, September 12th. So it'll be the exact same wagering menu as last year. We thought it really worked well, and we just came back with the same thing. First race is 2:35 Eastern, I'll say it that way, and we have 10 races per day each day.
Yeah, it's going to be an unbelievable meet. I mentioned all the money that's involved, and Corey, you've touched on it a couple of times now, and a lot of the big-name horsemen are going to be making their way there, too. I know you're expecting to see some big-name jockeys that are going to be there for the meet and some big-name trainers as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley Ward is gearing up. He's fired up, and he was, been leading a trainer a few times at our place, and, he's actually got Undrafted, who is a grade one stakes winner from Royal Ascot, pointing to the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint. But the beauty of our races is that, virtually every stakes race has a full field. I mean, I don't care who's in it. They all come to run. And we'll basically have every jockey back from last year except for one, and that's Rosie Napravnik, who, obviously had a child in the off season. But Julian Leperoux shared leading rider with Rosie, last year, and he'll be back. And virtually every top jockey in the country, their agent have told me that they're looking at mounts. And as you know, it's kind of fitting a puzzle together. You don't know who exactly is going to come on a given day, but I really, I think we'll have the top jockeys in the country from New York and California. We hear that Flavian Pratt is looking to ride at our place the entire meet, and that'll be a great addition. So top jockeys, top trainers, the best owners and breeders in the world, and there might be some more kind of exciting announcements as we get our nominations in and a little closer. Hopefully we can stay in touch, Mike, and I can bring you up to speed as things firm up.
Yeah, and I can tell you, with all of those full fields and all the big-name horsemen coming into town, it's going to make that 8th Annual Turf Handicapping Challenge on September 12th just a true puzzle for horsemen trying to come up with the right horses in those races.
And, the thing about this is we had a lot of favorites win last year, But they were 7-2 shots. They were 4-1 shots. They were 5-1. How can you? Where else can you get 3-5-1 on a horse you really like? You know, in as the favorite. I mean, it's just consistent at our place. So, and the other thing is, Mike, we have such a long stretch, and we have such a sweeping turn that comes into the stretch that the best horse has a really good chance to win. And one of the things is, we all know, when you deal with North American turf courses, you got some tight turns. I mean, it's just, that's a fact. And sometimes the best horse doesn't always win. They just can't quite get there in the stretch. Well, at our place, there's no excuse, because it's arguably the longest stretch in North America, and it really gives the bettors and the horsemen a good run for their money, a fair run for their money. And then add to that, our course, you know, is just in great shape, and that's all adds up to a great meet.
Yeah, and opening day, again, 2 weeks from today, September 5th, that handicapping challenge coming up on September 12th. And, of course, make sure you're playing in those games at jockeydraft.com and racetrackwarriors.com. And, Corey, as always, appreciate the support. Appreciate you taking a little time to fill everybody in on what we can look forward to this fall. And all the best with that meet. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Mike and Anthony. Appreciate it.
All right. Corey Johnson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And let me tell you, we had the opportunity to send gifts to all of the folks that joined us on our Fasig Tipton sale coverage here a couple of weeks ago. And everybody just raving about the quality of the Embrace the Race products. It is it's a brand for horse racing. It says you're a fan of horse racing, and they do it extremely well. So make sure you check them out, EmbraceTheRace.com. If you're having a function for your farm, if you're having a party, or if you have a horse racing fan on your list coming up for the holidays, trust me, this is the place to go, EmbraceTheRace.com.
I have one of our Embrace the Race HRN hats.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Somewhere.
How's that for a visual?
In the Stabilis estate. Yeah, wearing it right now. Nice.
Black and gold.
Black and gold. Yep. What team is that again?
The team you're going to be watching in the Super Bowl this year, my friend.
That's in that coffee. What the boss put in that coffee this morning?
All right. On that note, we're going to step away for a quick break. We're going to get you set for a busy second half of the program as well. It includes Brett Jones from Airdrie, Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, and Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela. We're just getting started. Busy morning on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. Flairstrips.com.
Want to know what we're up to?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
log on to horseracingradio.net.
It appears that the website has become alive.
Horseracingradio.net is your official home for HRRN on the web. Read our blogs, download our podcasts, link up to our Twitter and Facebook pages, listen to live streaming of all of our broadcasts, and much more. HRRN is your home for racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is horseracingradio.net. That's horseracingradio.net.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York, Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and I'm a Chatterbox turns for home. And on the outside is Carolina. And Include Betty is storming down the center of the track with the net. One furlong to run. Florent Giroux shaking up I'm a Chatterbox. Carolina trying to come and get her. Include Betty is third on the far outside. I'm a Chatterbox still there close to home. Carolina, a final bid. I'm a Chatterbox holds on. And then it was Carolina, Danette, and Include Betty.
Of course, I'm a Chatterbox getting the victory in that Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks, but it would be short-lived as she was disqualified, placed second for interfering with Carolina. And we'll see those two in a rematch coming back this afternoon, along with Include Betty, who was third in that race. They come together again in the Grade 1 Alabama. Our coverage kicking off at 5:30 Eastern here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Big A, that promises to be a good one.
Yeah, the top four actually from the Coaching Club American Oaks.
Yeah.
All back for this 135.
Yeah, and to put that in perspective, right? This past year we celebrated the 141st Kentucky Oaks. So we talk about the Oaks and the Derby and the history there, but this is a race steeped in history as well. Of course, we're sitting here at the oldest racetrack and sporting venue in the United States, so that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect morning here at the spa, too. Should be a great race later on today. Like we said earlier, the Phillies and Mares take center stage today. You got the Alabama here. Had a Beholder taking on the boys in the Pacific Classic. Three-year-old Philly division, you know, Lady Eli, we just saw her trainer Chad Brown walk away. He reported during the week that she's doing remarkably well.
Yeah, so great to hear that, too.
And, you know, as far as the top three-year-old Philly goes, I think it's going to be real hard to wrest that out of her hands. But when it comes to the dirt, it's up for grabs still. I know Carolina now has two grade ones in a row. A gutsy win in the Acorn after breaking poorly and getting into some trouble at the start on Belmont Stakes Day. And then last time via DQ got elevated to the victory. This would be her third consecutive grade one win. I guess it would make her the leader. But I think
Lovely Maria still has to be considered the leader, right? By virtue of that win in the Kentucky Oaks. She won the Ashland before that at Keeneland. If you're comparing grade ones, they each have two grade one victories, right? So to me, I give the edge to Lovely Maria if, let's say, we're voting for the championship today.
You see, and I would go with Carolina. I'm going to tell you why. I know Larry Jones came out this week, the trainer of Lovely Maria, and said that she went into that Delaware Oaks where she finished off the board at 3-10 and said she had a virus going into that, or coming out of that race, I should say. So you'd assume if she had it coming out, she certainly had it going in. There's no race like that on Carolina's card. In fact, the only time she finished off the board was right here at Saratoga in the mud in her debut, and then came off of a pretty long layoff and reeled off four in a row. Right now, I would think if the voters were polled today, it would go to Carolina. I would vote
really?
For Carolina. Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. I know it's the Kentucky Oaks.
You don't think
Oaks.
The Kentucky Oaks carries a little bit? Well, I mean, look, take nothing away from the Coaching Club American Oaks and the Acorn, but we're talking about, you know, winning the Kentucky Oaks. And if you're comparing grade ones, they both have two grade ones.
I don't know. I think
where's your separation?
What you've done for me lately. I feel.
So if either one of these two jumps up and wins this race today, they're the undisputed
leader. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
And I think they're the only two that could be the leader coming out of this. I'm a Chatterbox. It would be her first official Grade 1 win, even though she crossed
be,
the wire.
It would be two for Include Betty, too, though, if she were winning it, because she won the Mother Goose.
And I'm a big fan of Include Betty today because, you know, the four coming out of that Coaching Club American Oaks, the one that's going to want that extra eighth of a mile as it goes from 9 to 10 furlongs, I think, is Include Betty. And a lot of times you see these horses making these big runs at a mile and an eighth, and you just say to yourself, oh, well, they're going to love a mile and a quarter, and it's just and it doesn't pan out. She's one, to me, that looks like she's going to want every inch of that mile and a quarter. I think she just keeps on coming today. I hope she's anywhere near that 8-1 on Eric Donovan's morning line here at Naira. I would be a very, very happy camper at somewhere around 6:15 this evening.
Yeah, and of course you have I'm a Chatterbox, who was your unofficial winner of the Coaching Club American Oaks last time out before being disqualified, placed second. She's a 3-year-old daughter of Ashford Stallion Munnings, and that brings us to our Ashford Stallion Showcase for this morning. And the Stallion Showcase is going to focus on Scat Daddy this morning because he is currently the leading 2-year-old sire in the country. He has had 3 impressive 2-year-old winners at Saratoga recently with Unbridled Daddy, Get Jets, and Silky Girl, and also Grade 2 Sorrento winner Pretty and Cool and Grade 2 winner Acapulco, who was second against older horses in a Grade 1 in England yesterday. His 6 yearlings at the Saratoga Select Sale all sold for an average of $450,000. So Scat Daddy really getting it done, and we could see another Grade 1 winner here for Munnings if indeed I'm a Chatterbox were to win today, and those Ashford Stallions just on fire.
Think about that, Baron. Acapulco is a 2-year-old filly, went over to Europe and took on older colts.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No.
They don't even ride them here.
No.
They don't allow it to happen here.
No.
The harness horses do. Harness horses, you can run 2s and 3s against older horses. But and she ran a giant race to finish second.
Huge. I know. But what a great time to be a racing fan, huh? You think about some of the horses that are out there now. Forget about American Pharoah, which
right.
is hard to do. We spent most of the first part of the show talking about him possibly coming here for the Travers. But outside of American Pharoah, I mean, look at what we're going to see on the West Coast today. Right, with the Pacific Classic, Beholder, who has been absolutely brilliant for her entire career. And every time you start to doubt her, remember when she was just getting rolling and they said, well, geez, I don't know if she'll be good at a mile and a 16th. Can she outrun her pedigree at a mile and an eighth? And she kept proving everybody wrong. Does she prove them wrong one more time today at a mile and a quarter against the boys?
I don't think so. And I would completely dismiss her if this race was run anywhere outside of Southern California. My biggest problem today is Byron's in the race, and he's going to go from the inside. And I know that in a perfect world, Gary Stevens just takes a hold of her and sits off of Byron. But the presence of Midnight Storm, Nevermore, Baron, has one horse's participation in a race affected a race than in this race, I feel. Because Midnight Storm, breaking outside of Beholder in post 9, might engage her a little earlier. That's the one fear I would have if I was a fan of Beholders today.
She's not going to be on the lead with Byron going head-to-head with Byron, right?
I'm not saying that. Yeah, but what I'm saying is when Midnight Storm goes, you don't need her to grab the bit and get herself involved
right.
a little too early, a little too keyed up. You know, if she shows up, yeah, I mean, that extra eighth of a mile is certainly could be the great equalizer for some of these colts and older horses in the race. It's amazing that he's talking about colts and older horses and saying they need an equalizer to catch up with a 5-year-old mare. But,
yeah.
You know, that's the case here. And like you said, she's outrun her pedigree every step of the way so far, being a daughter of Henny Hughes out of Tricky Creek Mare. I mean, you don't think she's going to go a step past 7 furlongs. And she's handled all of the mile and an eighth races without a problem. The extra furlongs is obviously a big question mark. But, you know, she's found an interesting bunch. There are some horses in here that still have to prove themselves, I think. Namely, her stablemate, Catch a Flight, who might be a little stretched at this mile and a quarter. I give Imperative
a little bit
of a long shot chance in here. First off for Richard Baltus.
And Red Vine. I think Red Vine's a major player for Christoph going out there.
Yeah, he made his bones at Aqueduct and Monmouth and was second to the streaking Braidster last time in the Salvatore Mile. He's another one, he's a candy ride, so he'll run 23 miles, you would think.
Well, I know that you and Ellis Starr took the time last night, as you do every Friday on our Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview, to walk through these races and so many more. So we'll encourage people to go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, check out the podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview, and our thanks to Express Bet for making that possible. And one other side note here, I want to wish all the best to the folks at Spendthrift Farm. B. Wayne Hughes and his entire team would be holder today. Let's hope that all goes well.
Yeah, that Express Bet best bet of the day is that streaks at 5 weeks. So,
ooh,
yeah, we got it up to five. Just Wicked got it done last week. Steve Asmussen, 840. Ellis is.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you who your pick was this week, but they have to go back and listen to the show.
Yeah,
right? Let's not.
And
give
I,
it
also,
away.
I also guaranteed the Travers winner for the next week. So make sure they listen next week.
Ooh, you already put the guarantee out there?
Not American Pharoah. I will give out the winner on the call-in show. I will tell them how to bet the race on the Weekend Stakes Preview.
All right.
That's all next week.
Go check it out at horseracingradio.net. Don't forget, three winning your in races on the program at Del Mar today. The Del Mar Handicap, the Pat O'Brien, and the Pacific Classic. Our coverage of those races coming up this afternoon at 8:30 Eastern Time. That's 5:30 Pacific. Of course, Jude Feld will be joined by Jeff Bloom to provide that coverage this afternoon. And don't forget, before that, we bring you our coverage of the Alabama here at Saratoga. Myself, the Big A, and Acacia Courtney with you at 5:30 Eastern Time. And you can tune in there on Sirius Channel 93 worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Looking forward to that Saturday at Saratoga coverage a little later on today, especially when you're looking at an 8-to-1 shot and include Betty like I am. Hopefully she comes storming down the center of the track, and we could have a nice little celebration on our perfect perch, I call it here. We could not be in a better spot at the old spot.
And it's going to be a spectacular day. They're expecting more than 40,000 for this Alabama program today. So get here early. It's going to be packed. And if you're out here and you're listening to us right now, or you're making your way to the track, come see us. We're at the bottom of Section B of the grandstand. And I want to thank our friends at Custom Logo Wear, who just took care of us and printed up some nice HRN keychains. So if you come by, say hello to us this afternoon, we'll give you an HRN keychain, and they're really nice. And by the way, they're black and gold, just in case you're wondering.
The whole thing's black and gold, man. You know, I'm surprised your money's not black. I expect my check every week
to
be black and gold.
Are you going to watch the Steelers with me at 1 o'clock tomorrow?
No, absolutely not. No. Tomorrow is
they have a sports bar here at Saratoga. Maybe we can get them to put it on at the sports bar.
Yeah, the four
spot.
I wasn't
happy
about that either, by the way. That's a little bit of a sore spot, actually. I'm as big a four-star Dave fan as there is. Love Leo O'Brien, the late Richard Bombs. He was a good friend of mine. Richard Migliori did a lot of running, did a lot of riding, but that should have been the easy going, man.
All right, Brett Jones is standing by. He's in the on-deck circle. He's coming up right after this short commercial break, and then we're going to talk with the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, right around 9:25 Eastern as he joins us from Del Mar, and Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela at the end of the program. A lot to get to in hour number two. We're back with that right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Here comes Blame! Blame has won it ahead!
A photo finish that Blame got!
6 graded stakes wins, 3 grade 1 victories, 9 consecutive 100-plus buyers. And now, Blame has sired graded stakes quality from his first crop. His first runners are stars at tracks across the country.
It's far from over with a terrific performance.
Eclipse champion Blaine at Claiborne Farm.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by 4 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 39 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales rank in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off to New York, the premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Buy and toast of New York, California Chrome. Buy and toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Brave, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Maron Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Now here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back, Baron, Big A, that's Penna, and Stabile. We're with you at Saratoga. Gorgeous morning. Horses completing those final preparations as they will wrap up training in just over an hour, just about an hour from right now. And happy to have you with us here on the program. Everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius Channel 93, on our affiliates around the country, and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Listeners in nearly 160 countries have made Horse Racing Radio Network their home for live racing programming here in 2015. Make sure you do the same as we continue to take you down that road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships in Lexington, October 30th and 31st. We will be there at Keeneland as your exclusive radio home right here on HRRN. All of that Breeders' Cup coverage presented by our friends at Cal Density. And Big A, I know so many of our listeners are wondering about that countdown. And we are now just 69 days, 6 hours, and 23 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland.
Well, actually, it'd be underway already.
Huh?
Oh, no, that's the official.
What?
I'm sorry. I was drifting. Got a little distracted. So Friday, Saturday, Breeders' Cup.
You know, Jude never does this kind of stuff when he works with me.
It would be underway. That's correct. Day. We have less than 10 weeks until the Breeders' Cup.
Well, we have a race here at Saratoga today that has the look of a Breeders' Cup race. It is the Grade 1 Alabama, the 135th running of that historic race. And Brereton Jones of Airdrie Stud, his son Brett, have a couple of interests in this race. They have their Kentucky Oaks winner, Lovely Maria, and they have Grade 1 Mother Goose winner, Include Betty, both going up against a very strong field in this mile and a quarter test. And Brett, nice enough to spend a little time with us here this morning on the Equine Forum, and happy to have you on board, my
friend. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you very much for having me. I'd like to apologize to all the residents of those 160 countries you're broadcasting to. The dad couldn't make it. The real boss couldn't be here, but I appreciate you letting me step in, and excited to be here, to say the least.
I joked with you last night that I really just wanted his name on the marquee when we sent out our newsletter advertising the show.
You played it just right, and you've got Mr. Mandela coming on later, so they can't turn off the radio. So you played this thing perfectly.
What a morning. Isn't this gorgeous?
Paradise.
Yeah.
We were saying off the air, I've been lucky enough to come up here a couple times this meet, and every morning's been like this. It's Del Mar. It's Jude Feld weather.
Yeah, who is at Del Mar? He'll be a lot closer to Mandela than we will today. But yeah, you can't beat this day, and I wouldn't mind being in your shoes. Two Grade One winners going after the elusive 12th. It would be the third for. It would be the third for Lovely Maria this year, and the second for
Include Betty.
Well, we're going to try real hard, as you know, and as the listeners know. It's an unbelievably tough race. It really is kind of the ultimate three-year-old race now that the division has sort of had time to sort itself out a little bit. You see who the top players are, and they're all here. And we've got two fillies that are coming into it very well, and just try to get a little racing luck.
You know, both of those horses, Lovely Maria and Include Betty, are by your Airdrie Stallions. Of course, Lovely Maria is a daughter of Majestic Perfection, and Include Betty, a daughter of Include. People will hear that, and casual fans might hear me say that, Brett, and they go, well, okay, yeah, that's great. But as a breeder, and as somebody that's entrenched in that side of our business, talk about the significance of having two Grade One winning fillies, or horses for that matter, in a Grade One race like this.
Well, I love that whenever we're lucky enough to come on here, we never have to plug, because you do it so well for us, Mike. But it's a huge deal. I mean, that's our business. We're trying to make these stallions. And luckily these, you know, especially Lovely Maria, when you've got a filly from the first crop of a stallion that you're trying to make that breaks out like she has, wins the race like the Kentucky Oaks, it's everything. And he's guaranteed himself, Majestic Perfection's guaranteed himself, he's not going to be lonely, during the spring. He's going to be a busy fella. And, it's really very exciting. And, he's a horse that we were always very high on. We always thought had the potential to do this, and then when they go out and do it, it's pretty special.
Lovely Maria left a lot of people scratching their heads last time out after that performance in the Delaware Oaks, but her trainer Larry Jones came out this week and said she had a little something going into that race.
She did, and I think, as always, Larry is being very genuine about things. She had just a little bit of a setback. She was not at all cranked up for that race. This has always been the plan, you know, pretty much as soon as she crossed the wire in the Kentucky Oaks. I think Larry was thinking, how do I get her to the Alabama and in a good place to be competitive? So I think the plan's gone well. It was a little bit of a setback in Delaware. We think that race is a toss out. She's breezed great. Most importantly, Larry and Kerwin Clark, Boo Boo, are very excited about her. And I think she's coming in well. We were over at the barn this morning, and she's giving you the right sign, so we'll see.
You know, that Kentucky Oaks Alabama double has only been accomplished on three other occasions. One of those is
right
with your filly, Proud Spell. When you think about making that type of history again here today, what goes through your mind?
Well, it's what goes through my mind. It's hard to believe it's been 7 years since we were here with Proud Spell. We've been talking about that all morning because it feels like yesterday. But you know, just thinking back to that feeling when she won the race, I literally fell out of the box trying to get down to the winner's circle. I mean, we're going to try real hard to get that feeling again. And when you think of how many, you know, great horses have run at this racetrack and to be in some pretty elite company, that's cool stuff.
Do you see any similarities with Lovely Maria and Proud Spell?
Both in that neither one of them were particularly marketable when they were young. They both kind of got chips on their shoulders because of that. And both fillies have just a ton of heart and made us very happy on the first Friday in May. So they're different made fillies. They're different, they have different attitudes. But most importantly, they're pretty fast in the afternoon.
You know, so far there's been a lot of Lovely Maria love on this set. I love Include Betty today. I don't know if that's a good sign. You're about 380 pounds overweight going into the Alabama today, which isn't a good sign going 10 furlongs, Brett, but Man, I got to think this 1.25 miles is right up her alley.
The great thing about her is you know she's going to run a race, and you know how she's going to run a race. She's going to spot them a whole lot of lengths early. The pace is obviously going to be very significant there. If she gets the pace, she's got every shot. She's so genuine. She's such a cool filly. You know, she's so easy to love. My wife has been up here. We've had our two kids up here earlier in the meet, and she's kind of the favorite because, you know, she's just like a, you know, a pet. You go up there, you feed her peppermint. She loves you. And, you know, when she's done, she gallops in the morning. She goes and lays down. She races in the afternoon. She goes and lays down. That's her life.
I knew I liked this, Billy. That's what I do. Yeah. I go to work. I go to sleep. I go to work. I go to sleep.
You're a kindred spirit. So she's so much fun to root for. She's got that exciting, you know, tactics there where she comes from the clouds and she's going to be coming. So, let's just hope they come back to her, and we got a couple of orange silks there at the wire.
Yeah, you're not going to hear Larry Colmus mention her name until he gets all the way through the rest of the field, and then she'll be more than likely the last name that he mentions in the early going, but that's exactly where you want her to be. And we talked about this as you were getting ready to come on the show, Brett. This is a race that is very interesting from a tactical standpoint as well, and the jockeys, we hear that a lot, a jockey's race. This very well could be a jockey's race in terms of the strategy that we're going to see.
Yeah, well, as I said before when we were talking off air, maybe it's because we have a vested interest in this one and we're really paying attention. But tactically, I think it's the most interesting race I've seen in a while because you do have a lot of the quality fillies that are in the race can be on the lead or can be just off. It's going to be very interesting. You got the three favorites there all next to each other in the starting gate. It'll be very, very interesting to see how they play it.
Visiting with Brett Jones from Airdrie Stud here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brett, you alluded to the fact that your dad wasn't able to make it out here with us today, but I know that you have a very close relationship with your dad. You have for a long time, and working with him as part of Airdrie and with other initiatives here in the thoroughbred world, it has to be very special going down this road with your dad and doing this together. Talk about that.
It's the most special. It really is, and you know, we're all up here together. We've been unbelievably lucky that I can work with my father every day of my life, go in the mornings, meet with him, and still be best friends at 4:30, 5 o'clock when the day ends. So I promise you, we recognize how lucky we are, and nothing could be more fun.
Yeah, it's a very special time, keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. And I know that's probably an overused cliche, but that's truly the case in today's Alabama as well. 69 days, 6 hours, and now only 15 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. And I know you're involved with Breeders' Cup on so many different levels. Tell me about what's happening there at Keeneland and what we can look forward to.
I just think it's going to be unbelievable. I think the whole week leading up to it will be unlike what people have seen, even from a Breeders' Cup. And Breeders' Cup has always been my two favorite days of racing. But just the way that the city of Lexington is bought in, the state of Kentucky is bought in, and Keeneland is doing everything exactly the way that you would expect Keeneland to do. It's going to be an awesome week and just two awesome days.
Yeah, special week in the Bluegrass for sure, and can't wait to get down there for all of our exclusive coverage. And kind of nice to play a home game this year, isn't it?
It is. It is.
What does that mean to Central Kentucky and to the breeding industry to have the Breeders' Cup come home to Keeneland?
Well, it's so great to give everybody the access, and we all know that the tickets are not the easiest thing to come by, but you'll have that whole week to see these horses, to go out every morning. You know, I can take my boys out. You can have that special kind of week where you see the best horses in the world training right there in front of you and then run at a track that deserves to have that kind of opportunity. So I just think it's going to be unbelievable.
And it's a couple of months, 10 weeks before breeding season. It's nice to have everybody in town, too, to check out the stallions.
Exactly right. And we're going to try real hard to have a runner or two in there.
Speaking of the stallions, I'm going to give you one more opportunity here, Brett. You said I usually plug them, but you're sitting here with your Creative Cause cap on.
I am.
A cool-looking cap. What's going on with Creative Cause?
That's my boy there. He is he's doing just exactly what we'd hoped he'd do. He's throwing very good-looking yearlings. They're already selling well. And most importantly, I think they're going to be fast in the afternoons because he's, you know, we normally can't bring in a prospect that is, talking about cliches, nothing's more cliche than saying ticks all the boxes, but he does tick all the boxes. He's a beautiful, you know, Giant's Causeway by a top stallion, grade one winner at 2, trained on at 3, out of a grade one winning millionaire. We think he's pretty pretty special, and thankfully he's throwing the type horses we expected him to.
Yeah, and you've been right on a lot of these other horses as well, because your dad and yourself, you both have a great eye for these stallions, and you pick them out, and they seem to do very, very well. So continued success, and continued success in today's Alabama. Let's go get it done.
Thank you so much, guys. You are the best. We really appreciate it.
All right, Brett Jones, Airdrie Stud, and of course, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to step away for a quick commercial break. We'll come back with your Blood Horse News update and visit with the Pontiff of the Pick Four in just a little bit, Jude Feld. He'll join us live from Del Mar. Stay with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
To learn more about racing and breeding in Maryland, visit MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes at the historic Red Mile in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is the culmination of a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-old pacers and trotters with total purses of over $1.6 million. Watch some of the finest standardbred horses, drivers, and owners compete in one of the richest finals in North America. First post is 7 p.m. on August 9th, 20th, and 30th at the Red Mile. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREDS.
Ramsey Farms, Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that come down to a bomb.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for 12,500 at Ramsey Farm. Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
A final furlong, Miss Temple City's taking the lead. Sentiero Italia runs with her up into third in strict compliance. It is Miss Temple City and Sentiero Italia, and Sentiero Italia goes on to win.
Sentiero Italia displayed her gameness in winning the Grade 2 Lake Placid Stakes at Saratoga last weekend, and the daughter of Darley Stallion Medagliadoro has now recorded 3 wins in 5 lifetime starts with earnings of more than $320,000 for trainer Kieran McLaughlin and owners Godolphin Racing. Her huge win in the Grade 2 Lake Placid makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medagliadoro now has 19 black type winners in 2015. Tops among all North American stallions. Sentiero Italia became Medagliadoro's 10th group or graded winner on the year, which currently ranks him 2nd on the leading sire list by earnings. To learn more about Medagliadoro and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They are coming to the quarter pole. Beholder is in front. My Sweet Addiction down at the rail. Yahilwa is on the outside of that. My Monet in behind them. Warren Zvenita still far back. Homeward Bound now, and suddenly Beholder has shot clear. And Beholder just getting the rain shaking at her now. Yahilwa is running a brave 1 second. But Beholder, once again, a scintillating performance. They just never gave them a chance. Cantering home under Gary Stevens in the Clemental Hirsch. Beholder wins. Yahilwa second. Warren Zvenita third. Then My Sweet Addiction, Honey Ride, My Monet, Legacy, and the girl in that song.
Well, Beholder could not have been any more impressive last time out in winning the Clement L. Hirsch. We'll see her in action again today against the boys in her first test of the mile and a quarter. She's passed every test with flying colors so far in her championship career. Can she do it one more time? Well, we'll find out later today. Post time for the Pacific Classic set for 9:10 Eastern. That is 6:10 locally on the West Coast. All of that coverage with Jude Feld and Jeff Bloom coming up at 8:30 Eastern time. Of course, it will be preceded by our coverage of Saturdays at Saratoga. The Alabama is our feature race this afternoon, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern time. You can tune into the Alabama on Sirius Channel 93 and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget that you can catch the Pacific Classic coverage at 8:30 exclusively on our website, on your smartphone or your tablet at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, we are with you here at Saratoga and getting ready to visit with the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, live from Del Mar. We'll get to him in just a moment, but want to remind you that you do not get to be America's leading stud farm for the 13th time in 30 years without producing champions, grade one winners, and derby contenders. And Lanes End Stallions have done exactly that with the likes of Candy Ride's Shared Belief, Curlin's Stellar Wind, Quality Road's Hootenanny, Lemon Drop Kids' It's a Knockout, and City Zips Day at the Spa. To learn more about breeding opportunities with Lanes End, just give them a call, 859-873-7300, or you can visit lanesend.com.
And Darren, it is time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Phasic Tipton adds day to October yearling sale. With a record number of 1,400 entries to date, Phasic Tipton has added an additional day to its October yearling sale in Lexington that will run October 19th through 22nd. Thoroughbred sales like the October sale gain momentum when they work well for both sellers and buyers, Phasic Tipton President Boyd Browning said in an August 21st release. Fall yearling graduates have performed very well on the racetrack, and an expanded format will give buyers more selection, more diverse pedigree, and more choices. We look upon it as a win-win. The sale begins at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time daily, with all entries contained in a single catalog that will be available online approximately September 30th. That wraps up today's Blood Horse News Update. For more racing and more industry news, visit bloodhorse.com.
Well, the big news today is the three winning your in races out at Del Mar. And again, that coverage coming up beginning at 8:30 Eastern time. And if you are just joining us, the first winning your in is the Pat O'Brien Stakes, which we're going to have for you on tape delay during that program because it goes earlier on the card. That is a winning your in for the Dirt Mile. Then you have the Del Mar Handicap, which will precede the Pacific Classic. It is a winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Turf Division. And then, of course, that Pacific Classic at a mile and a quarter, a win and you're in for the Classic Division. And Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four. Pope Jude is on location where the turf meets the surf. JT, what's happening out in Del Mar?
Well, it's been fantastic the last couple of days. The weather's been great. And looking forward to a beautiful renewal of the Pacific Classic today. Supercard at Del Mar. You guys have some great racing at Saratoga as well, so I'm looking forward to a day of horse playing.
Yeah, what's the buzz on Beholder? Trying the mile and a quarter for the first time, going up against the boys for the first time. What are you hearing there?
Well, everybody around town is talking about her. Most people think she's a lock. I don't know if I necessarily go that far. You know, she's a very talented filly. She's maybe the most beautiful filly in training. I mean, if she was a gal, she'd be a supermodel, and she's done everything right. She loves California racing. She won the Clement Hirsch by 7 lengths. But granted, she hasn't been running against, you know, the greatest fillies on earth. So, it's a mixed bag. And the other question is the mile and a quarter. Some people are questioning her ability to go that far. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, her pedigree went out the window when she won past 7 furlongs. So she's been able to do things that most horses with her speedy pedigree can't do. And she's just a very, very special filly. So it's going to be great to see how it all pans out. If she wins, I think it's really going to be a special edition of the Pacific Classic. But we'll have to let the chips fall.
It's Anthony. It's an interesting bunch because you have some horses that are looking for validation, namely Hard Aces, who's trying to prove that his win last time out in the Gold Cups, not really a fluke, for the lack of a better term. You have Opportunity looking to get back on the win train. Of course, won the Clark last year at the end of the season. And then, right in her own barn, you have Catch a Flight, who's trying to stretch out and get that mile and a quarter. It's certainly an interesting bunch that Mandela has found to try her against the boys for the first time.
Well, I think that maybe the key to the race, too, is that Mandela has a really, really talented horse in Catch a Flight. He's done a great job with that horse. He's developed him into one of the top handicap horses in the country, yet he's willing to run Beholder against him. And that says a lot about how Mandela feels about Beholder and what she can do. I think, it's a tough thing to do, to run two top horses from your same barn against one another. The owners don't like it most of the time. They don't want to get beat by their own trainer. And, so he's kind of putting his ass on the line today to do all of this, and that means he's really serious about it. And I've known Richard for 30 years, and he doesn't do things lightly. I mean, he gives a lot of thought to his horses, and he's pretty much single-minded guy. I mean, you don't talk to Richard Mandela about baseball or football. You talk to him about horses, and so I have to respect that. He's a Hall of Famer, and he thinks she can do it. So when you add in the equation that he's got another horse in the race that could win, it's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, and of course, we're going to visit with Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela coming up, in just about 15 minutes from right now. JT, how about the fact that these races now going back to traditional dirt or conventional dirt, however you want to look at it, after being run on a synthetic surface for the past several years? That has to be a good sign for the horsemen out there. And I think the fact that we're seeing horses like Beholder, Bayern, horses like that going to the post in the Pacific Classic speaks to what the horsemen feel about the new dirt surface.
Well, it's funny. You listen to people talk, and some people are missing the old poly track. So, if you're winning, you like the new dirt. If you're losing, you wish the poly track was back. I don't know really if how much that plays into it. I mean, pretty much if you're coming to Del Mar, you got to run on whatever track they put out there. And Del Mar's had issues with the racetrack, over many, many years. And, when I trained horses, there was a lot of complaints about the track, and I never had any problem with my horses down at Del Mar. I had a really good run of luck down here. And so, surface aside, I think the race maybe has more entries because it's on the dirt, and that would be the biggest factor.
Is there any rain in the forecast out there today?
Not that I know of. I mean, it's been typical Del Mar. That currently when you look out the hotel window here, it's very cloudy, but there's little patches of blue. It's overcast, but it burns off so fast. Like usually around 10:30 or 11, it burns off, and then you've got blue skies. I mean, yesterday was just an awesome day. Spent a little beach time. And, you couldn't ask for a nicer day. The water temperature is about 72. And, the waves haven't been all that great for surfing, but it's really beautiful down here. And I hadn't been here in a long, long time, probably 6 or 7 years. And I've really enjoyed the last couple days.
Well, and of course, the reason I asked that question is because when
you bring the rain.
Yeah, when I went there for opening day, my first opening day ever at Del Mar, it rained and they had a sloppy track, not just one day, 2 days in a row. And it was the first sloppy track in, Jude, what was it, 100 and some odd years that they had had a sloppy track? Is that right?
No, no.
It was something ridiculous.
But it was like 28
It was something ridiculous.
Years, right? I've been here a couple times when it's rained at Del Mar. I think the first time I was about 16 years old, and it was just a sea of slop. The track really has never taken the rain well, the dirt track anyway. But it's just typical of what you would bring. The mush comes to town, and the sky's open.
Well, maybe it was good luck for Delmar. Like when you christen a yacht, you break the champagne bottle over the bow.
And you know, I think that's the main a good track, point. I think sometimes, you know, because of the lack of rain down here, it's hard to get moisture into the track. They put a new dirt track in, and, you know, it might have been God taking care of the folks at Del Mar, let it rain, let that water get into the surface and, you know, help it out a little bit. And I think it's a good thing.
I'm glad I could do my part.
Yeah, there you go.
Jude, how about the race preceding the Pacific Classic, the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. It's 1 3/8 on the grass, and some interesting possibilities in here, at least from a wagering standpoint.
Yeah, no, it's a good race. I mean, it's not a huge field, but there's some nice horses in there. I would be, lying if I didn't tell you that I want Mr. House to win it. My longtime client and good friend, Michael House, has got Big John B in there. He's the defending champion, and I'd love to see him win this race, especially in light of the fact that Gabriel Charles got colic and wasn't able to run in the Arlington Million. That was kind of a blow, but Mr. House is very good owner. He's been in the business for 40 years, and he's been through ups and downs, and he sent me a text that day about Gabriel Charles, and it was a one-word text that said, brutal.
So, yeah.
You know, so I'd like to see him win it, and he's doing great. He's won his last two starts. Last year he was on a two-race winning streak when he won the race, so I think he's got a big chance. Finnegan's Wake, I mean, you look at his form, it's awesome. He's been running against the best horses. He's got a great turn of foot. Ganesh is another horse that I like, another Mandela trainee. He hasn't won yet in the United States, but he's sitting on a victory. Every horse really top to bottom has a chance, it's going to be a really, really good race.
I haven't had a chance to peruse Pope Jude yet. I know you have everybody covered this weekend. Head over to Pope Jude and get hot, stay hot, as you like to say. Are you in the Pat O'Brien earlier in the card? It's going to go as race four, actually. I think Turnover can go gate to wire in there. Are you on the same page?
Well, I actually left that race off the sheet because I could not figure it out. I think you're right. There's a paucity of speed in there. Indexical looks like, he's got the most speed on paper. But, you got a Baffert breaking from the rail, and I don't think they're going to be taking any prisoners. If he's quick enough, he could be very, very tough, especially going 7/8. The rail doesn't bother me as much going 7/8 because they got a little bit of a run down the chute. So and it's a short field too. That's gonna help them. But to me, it was kind of a race where I could not figure out what was gonna happen, so I just left it off the sheet, which is typical of what I do with Pope Jude. If I don't have any kind of answer at all, I just leave it off.
Visiting with the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, Jude Feld, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will be with Jeff Bloom later this evening, 8:30 Eastern time, for that coverage of the Pacific Classic. You'll also hear the Del Mar Handicap and the Pat O'Brien on tape delay as part of that same show. Jude, I know you're not here, of course, with us for the Alabama, obviously, but did you get a chance to take a look at that race, and did you do a sheet for Saratoga?
Yeah, Saratoga is part of the coverage of Pope Jude. There's only two tracks on there, Del Mar and Saratoga, and that's really the best racing around the country. There's the Arlington, Washington Futurities up at Arlington, but I just decided to leave it off the sheet because I figured most people We're going to concentrate on the two tracks today. I mean, there's such good racing at both tracks that, it's just it's a love fest for horse racing today. I mean, I'm really excited about the card at both tracks. So I just did those on the sheet. But Carolina, I've been calling her Carolina so long until I found out the other day that the way Scott Campbell says Carolina.
Right.
she's on a roll. I mean, you know, she got the victory last time by DQ in the Coaching Club American Oaks, but she probably should have won the race anyway. So I think, you know, she's looking like the horse to beat. But Include Betty intrigued me a little bit. You know, Tom Proctor, pretty great with fillies if you look at his overall career. And this filly's round in the form. I think the mile and a quarter's going to be, you know, right up her alley. So I thought she had a chance. I thought, you know, Governor Jones filly, Lovely Maria, had a chance. I'm a little concerned about I'm a Chatterbox going a mile and a quarter. I'm not so sure she wants to go that far. She's by Munnings, and she's out of a lost Folger mare. So a mile and a quarter is kind of stretching her pedigree a little bit. But, that's a pretty salty race. I mean, whoever wins that race deserves the grade one status, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, that coverage of the Alabama here at Saratoga, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series, that comes up at 5:30 Eastern. And then join Jude and Jeff Bloom at 8:30 Eastern time for coverage of the Pacific Classic. JT, really do appreciate the time and hope you enjoy your visit with your new grandbaby and all the kids out there in California. And we'll enjoy listening to the program here tonight.
All right. Well, thanks. We had a great time at the Padres game last night. And, you know, it's been fun hanging out with everybody. My cousin's coming down to visit today. It's been a family fun fest, and it's great to include the HRN coverage and all of that. So looking forward to a big day. Can't wait to work with Jeff, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Enjoy the racing today at Del Mar and all that winning you're in action, and we'll catch up with you here soon.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
All right, Jude.
Pope Jude, the pontiff of the Pick Four. You can go to popejude.com to download his sheet for both Del Mar and Saratoga today. And again, that coverage from Del Mar, 8:30 Eastern, following our coverage here at Saratoga at 5:30. We'll encourage you to go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule, listing of affiliates, and not just for this weekend, but all of our shows leading up to the Breeders' Cup World Championships over the next couple of months. We're going to get to a break. We're back with our Right or Wrong segment. The Big I and Big A and I will debate some of the hot topics in the game today. That's all presented by Sunrise Stallions. And then we'll take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup with who else? Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies, or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky, fast, new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Colgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Colgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Colgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. 542-8343. Colgate Hay Company.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
Back to the Equine Forum. We are live from historic Saratoga Racecourse in Saratoga Springs, New York, getting ready to continue our Saturdays at Saratoga programming. We've been here since opening day or opening weekend, and we'll continue to be with you all the way through Labor Day weekend. Of course, our exclusive coverage of the Traverse Stakes next Saturday, brought to you by Sunrise Stallions, as is our upcoming segment, which is Right or Wrong. And of course, Sunrise, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. You can learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, here we go, my friend. Secret Gesture was disqualified from a win in last weekend's Beverly D for impeding eventual third-place finisher Stephanie's Kitten after her rider was checked her sharply in deep stretch. Now, the DQ was the right call in that situation, right or wrong?
That is wrong. I thought it was a terrible call. I think I-Rod checked a little prematurely. He was anticipating the drift. I would have left the number up, especially since Stephanie's Kitten was never, ever getting the money. I know it cost her a placing, but she was never winning that race. I think it was a terrible call.
No, you know what I think was terrible is how much time it took to decide that this horse needed to come down. This was the absolute right call. I thought it was a no-brainer. Jude and I were sitting there watching it live. We did the coverage right in the middle of the stretch, and you could see immediately that there was going to be an inquiry and an objection. And then when you watch the head-on, you look at what Secret Gesture did coming out so much, and you're right. You said it right there. She cost Stephanie's Kitten a placing. That's enough reason to come down. And that's it.
I think I cost her a placing,
right,
but that's
wrong?
Me.
Yeah, I think it's the right call. All right, number two. All right, you ready for this one? 1 week from today, Travers Day, American Pharoah will be part of the field for the Midsummer Derby. We kind of touched on it at the beginning of the show. Is that right or wrong?
That's right. He'll be here. Plain and simple. He'll be here. We touched on it earlier.
You know, I happen to agree with you. I thought we were going to disagree on this one, but I happen to agree with you. So I will also take right on that one. I think we see the Pharoah here next week at the Spa.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and one more for you. Revisiting a topic from opening week of Saratoga, 2014 leading rider Javier Castellano trails I-Rod Ortiz Jr. 40-34 in the jockey standings, while the defending training champ Todd Pletcher is currently deadlocked with Chad Brown at 22. With 15 racing days left, both Castellano and Pletcher will defend their titles successfully. Right or wrong?
Wrong. I gave you I-Rod Ortiz Jr. and Chad Brown week one. I'm keeping with I-Rod Ortiz Jr. and Chad Brown on week five. They are on fire. I think Chad has a lot of bullets left to fire. I'm not saying Todd doesn't. I think Chad has a lot of bullets left to fire. And the way I-Rod Ortiz Jr. is riding right now, six is, as my pal Tom Durkin would say, an insurmountable leap.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I agree with you for different reasons. I think it's wrong as well. I don't think that you see both Javier and Todd defend their crown successfully. I think Irod can easily win the riding title here. I mean, the way he's riding, as you said, is exceptional. He's getting good mounts. He's getting great business right now. And I said that in, I think, our first segment, that I think Irod could be the one to upset Javier Castellano. But in terms of the Pletcher, Chad Brown, I think Pletcher's going to have too much firepower down the stretch here, and I think that, Todd's going to end up winning out on that one. So I can see Todd defending, Javier coming up just a little bit short.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And that, of course, is Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions. And we're going to be back to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup with Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela right after this quick word from Sunrise.
The stallion roster at Sunrise Stallions includes Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother Heavy Breathing, who combined to breed more than 200 mares this season. Big Brown leads all New York stallions in 2015 earnings with over $3 million, and this year's two-year-olds come from his biggest crop. Frost Giant's largest two-year-old crop debuts next year, and 17 yearlings by Frost Giant have been accepted by Fasig Tipton for the New York preferred sale in Saratoga. Learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Cigars in front, Dare and Go with a white cap that's now looming in danger. Dare and Go's going to look for the upset. Cigar takes the lead. Dare and Go's got DNA morning. Cigar's got to dig deep. He's had a run very fast early and he can't find. And Dare and Go has gone right on by Cigar at 6 feet of a mile to go. And you can never underestimate a classy horse. And this is one classy guy on his day. Dare and Go. And Alex Solis win the Pacific Classic. Cigar rallies on out but has to settle for second. Siphon was third. Then Dramatic Gold and Lucia Fever. Finish last.
Well, who can forget that day back in 1996, the very classy Dare and Go winning the Pacific Classic, defeating the great Cigar. Of course, Dare and Go, the first of three Pacific Classic winners, sent to the post by Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela. He is looking for a fourth today, and he has a pair of horses entered in the Pacific Classic with champion Beholder, the filly taking on the boys, and Catch a Flight. And we'll see which one of those may possibly be the one to give him number four. And Richard, nice enough to spend a little time with us from California now. Richard, really do appreciate the time, my friend. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
I figured I'd take you on a little trip down memory lane with that Trevor Denman call, the 1996 renewal. Has to be a special one for you.
Yes, it is. That was, you know, a day we didn't expect to win. We were just hoping to do the best we could, and it turns out we won. So that's always a little more exciting.
How about the following year when you came back with Gentlemen and won that day with Gary Stevens aboard? Were you expecting it that day?
Yes, you know, he was a horse that, you know, we felt should win all of his races. You know, I messed up a few, but he was a very good horse. Yeah.
You know, I voted for your 2004 winner for the Hall of Fame this year. I think that he should be in. That's Pleasantly Perfect. He was absolutely brilliant that day under Jerry Bailey, and a horse that for much of his career I think was underrated and didn't get the respect that he deserved. But that day in 2004, pretty amazing too. Look back on that day.
Yeah, no question about it. That was a great horse. You know, I've said many times, as a two-year-old, he suffered from pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, and just to make it to the races was amazing to me, and then to make it as great as he did, he was really good. And I don't think he got the credit he deserved, and he's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, and again, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully that will happen one day. Richard Mandela with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Richard, let's fast forward to this afternoon's race. And, of course, all eyes on your champion filly, Beholder. She's been so brilliant for much of her career, really all of her career. What led to the decision to run here in this spot this afternoon?
Her races here, the races against fillies here had gotten where she just was so dominant, I thought, that I just kept thinking, you know, I need to step it up and try something a little more difficult for her to let her prove herself. I thought about shipping her. You know, it didn't work out to go to the Ogden Phipps, and I didn't want to take her to Saratoga because she is a problem to travel sometimes. So I thought, well, I'll just stay right here at home and try this race against Colts for $1 million. That's a pretty good test.
Richard Anthony Stabile here, and one of the Colts that you're trying is right down the shed row from Beholder, and that's Catch a Flight, another one from your barn. He's really turned into one of the top handicap horses in this country. Big win last time out in the San Diego Grade 2 in that handicap down at Del Mar opening week. What's it like to have two horses of this caliber gunning at that $1 million purse? By the time they go to post, you guys, they'll probably be the first two choices.
Yeah, we've had experience with that before. You just have to treat each one as an individual and give them their fair, you know, their best chance. And I've never had any problem with owners, you know, wondering which one's our favorite or anything like that. So I've been lucky that way. So you just, doesn't matter if they're from our barn or somebody else's, they're just two horses trying to beat each other.
Richard, for Beholder, it's her first time going further than a mile and an eighth. And as you mentioned, she does it against the boys this afternoon. What's she showing you that gives you the confidence that she can be just as effective at the mile and a quarter distance?
Well, in the race the other day, she just spurted away from the field when he asked her to run. And she's pretty much done that for quite a while. In the Breeders' Cup Distaff as a three-year-old, she did the same thing to Royal Delta and Princess of Silmar. So... it doesn't look like a problem, but you don't know until you actually do it, so we'll just have to see.
Talk about your approach with preparing her for this particular race over the past 3 weeks or so since she last ran. What's that approach been?
Just same as it would for any other race. You know, she just had a good race 3 weeks ago. We gave her a few easy breezes to just keep her eyes open, and there wasn't much to do other than just try her back again.
You know, we've often said on this program, Richard, that being a daughter of Henny Hughes, that her pedigree doesn't scream a mile and a quarter, but then again, she's been outrunning her pedigree from the very beginning, and every time that somebody has doubted Beholder, she has answered the question and answered it emphatically. Do you agree that she's the filly that just keeps overcoming and overcoming and overcoming all the doubters?
Yeah, she's established her own name, and as far as I'm concerned, Henny Hughes isn't here to interfere with her at this point anyway, so she's on her own, I'd say.
Well said. He's Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, live from Del Mar. Richard, the race before the Pacific Classic, you send out Ganesh in the Del Mar Handicap, another quality horse who has been so close the past couple of times. Tell me about him and what we can look forward to this afternoon.
Just a very nice horse that came here with a kind of a modest race record. Once won a handful of allowance races and was stakes place by Giant Causeway, bred in Brazil by Horace de Santa Maria, the owner. But to our surprise, just little by little, he's just shown us more and more. And who knows how good he might end up at the end, by the time it's over.
Yeah, well said. Richard Mandela here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Richard, we know it's a busy morning for you. We'll let you go. As always, appreciate the time, and we will catch up with you soon. Good luck this afternoon.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
All right, Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. And by the way, he joined me for an hour-long trainer talk, and he was absolutely incredible. You can go back to our website and listen to the full hour. It was one of the more enjoyable visits that I've had on this program. So much fun to visit with him.
Yeah, you don't get days like he got in that 2003 Breeders' Cup day before we went to the two-day format.
Yeah.
The man on Mandela with the end of the day were pleasantly perfect. One of the best, and he's been one of the best for a very, very long time. Curious that he didn't try this with Beholder a little earlier. I know last year she ran into a bunch of, she had a little nicks here and there, and but it looks like she handled that conventional dirt surface at Delmont very well last time out, and gave him enough confidence to try this today.
All right, we are going down the road to the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and that means that this segment is presented by Gainsway. We'll step away for a quick word from Gainsway, and we'll come back to wrap it up here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Watt Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilrow.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 39 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Well, just 69 days, 5 hours, and now 32 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup, so we are edging closer. And, of course, Breeders' Cup winning, you're in action at Del Mar coming up this afternoon. Big A, let's kind of set the scene for what's coming up here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A great 7-horse field here in that 135th renewal, slurring my speech here, of the Alabama. That's from 5:30 to 6:30 here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And then, of course, Beholder tries the boys for the first time in her illustrious career. 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern out at Del Mar with Jude Feld and Jeff Bloom.
Check it all out on our website, horseracingradio.net. Want to very quickly give a shout-out to each and every one of our listeners and fans who have come up to us throughout the meet so far here at Saratoga. We're at the platform at the bottom of Section B. Same thing at Arlington last week. And our man Jay over here, who's wearing his HRN cap, he has an HRN keychain that he got this morning. He's listening on his phone there. So great stuff, and really do appreciate all the support from every one of our listeners.
Giving out lots of keychains and Big A pens this morning so far. We hope to keep it up throughout the day.
Our thanks to Michael Herner from Gainsway, Corey Johnson from Kentucky Downs, Brett Jones of Airdrie, the Pontiff Jude Feld, and Richard Mandela for making this show an awful lot of fun. We're back at 5:30 Eastern Time with coverage of the Alabama, and then 8:30 Eastern Time with that Pacific Classic coverage from Del Mar. Been a lot of fun, my friend.
Let's play two.
Let's play two. Let's do it. Let's play three today. We're going to do it. A triple header here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. For Lee Della Pina, for Anthony Stabile, for our producer Michelle Penna here on site, I'm Mike Penna. Go Steelers!